How many brought a Bible? If you have a Bible, I want you to raise it high. I love seeing all the word being raised high. As of now, I have to change the way I say a lot of things, seems like. As of now, the Lord doesn't allow me to put the scriptures on the screen. I think because as of now, He wants us to get used to carrying our own word and looking at it ourselves. I think it's really, really important to, as a Christian, and if you're not born again, if you're not a believer in Jesus, today you will be. Amen. Say amen to that, y'all. That's just adding some agreement. There's no reason to not have Jesus as the Lord of your life in these days. And so we're a church that you're going to have an opportunity here in a little bit to receive the King, Jesus. But with that said, the Word of God is your only hope. It's the only thing that will be given to you as truth, even as scientists are trying to disprove the thing. But how many of you know they can't? The Word of God keeps coming to pass. The things that Prophet Isaiah spoke about 2,000 years ago are still coming to pass in front of our eyes. And now, with that said, though, and, you know, the importance of bringing your own word. That's why we have cowboy Bibles that, you know, you can throw on the dash of your truck. And I minister to lots of cowboys, all kinds of professionals to college. We kind of started in college rodeo in 1996. And then that was me and my family. And then, you know, and really, even before that, 1984 is when we sang for my spiritual dad, Glenn Smith, who's now in heaven, 1984 at Odessa, Texas, at a high school rodeo. So we've been primarily in the professional college and high school, just ministering to a lot of the Western events in that way. And one thing that we were taught is how truthful the Word of God is. It's your only hope. And you've got to get used to carrying it with you always, because even when you can't get a hold of the preacher, man, you can get into that word. And man, the Spirit of God, you know, the third of the Trinity, you know, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost that's still here. Man, He'll just drop a scripture, or there might be times in my life when I might be just flipping through this thing and I stop somewhere and it's exactly what I needed that day, because that's how good the Lord is. And so carry your Bible with you always. And so that's why I want to see all the Bibles. And then if you don't have one, man, let us know. We'll buy you one. Amen. Or we'll give you a cowboy Bible. It's primarily the New Testament, but that's okay, because we're a New Testament church. Amen. All right. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And as you turn there, let me go ahead and set up this message. Now, for the last, how long, Rusty? Probably 2 months or so, we've been, we all been kind of, you know, and these ministers, they kind of go right off of what the Lord has shown me, and so I appreciate that, because then it just backs up and edifies us just a little bit more about what God is really wanting us to speak about. And I started dealing with dominion. And man, people have never even heard about dominion. What does the Bible say about us as believers having dominion? And really all it is just your rights, your benefits of as a believer in Jesus. I mean, are you in your mind, do you just have the helmet of salvation on and that's it? We raise our hand because we don't want to go to hell when the preacher says it at the end of his service. Or at the rodeos, it's very evangelistic. And so, man, some of them are like, no, I don't want to go to that place called hell where it's utter darkness, where you'll burn forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I was telling my son that the other day, and we were just talking. And I said, man, eternity is amazing. Because with Jesus, we're going to be spending eternity with Him. Now, I know we're living here right now, and we are living on an earth, but there'll be a day when we're not living here any longer. Now, I don't have time to start teaching about the end times because we're in them. Matter of fact, I believe we're in the end of the end times. Say amen to that. And that's not nothing to be afraid of. It just means we need to look up because our redemption draws nigh. We need to be ready for the return of Jesus because it could happen at any time. And we have to be ready. So as a pastor, I want to make sure this congregation and wherever I go and minister, they understand who they are in Christ Jesus. Why? Well, because we're seeing the attacks of the devil like never before. I mean, ask anybody and they'll probably give you a testimony of something that they've gone through. It might be a marriage that is being attacked. It might be their finances. It might be their ministry. It might be, you know, their health. And the list goes on and on and on. So as a pastor, I want to make sure you, as a believer in Jesus, have the tools to be able to defeat that devil. No, not call the preacher when all hell breaks loose, because I might not be around. My phone might be out of service. So what are you going to do? Well, you better get into this Word and find out who you are in Christ Jesus. You better find out what the Word of God, what God says about you when you say, Jesus, come into my life and be my Lord. Because you have rights. You are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. You are someone in Christ. We've been raised that we're not worthy. No. With Jesus, you are worthy. Matter of fact, the Bible says you can speak to a mountain and command the mountain to be cast into the sea. You have a right as a believer to speak to something that's coming against you. And you can do it, or you better, in Jesus' name, who has a name above all names, right? And so when you find out even about dominion, that you have dominion, as Genesis says, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. You know, it goes on and says you have dominion over the cattle, over the fowl of the air, the birds or whatever. And then it says over all things, you have dominion as a believer. Okay. Once you find out, and that's why the devil's attacking more today, and I don't know if that's true, actually. I think he's attacking just the same. I think we just see it more. I mean, get off of social media, and you won't see it as much. But you get on social media, and, oh, man, you're going to see a lot of things, and you think they're happening worse now. But still, we're seeing it, and it seems to be magnified today. Okay, so we started talking about these rights and benefits of a believer about 2 months ago. And I mean, it's been good. And then each minister, when I'm gone, has just piled on. Well, today, I'm gonna talk about something that I think we're all going to have to do in these last days to not give up. Because listen to me, what does the Word say that happens in the last days? People will walk away from the faith. I can't imagine that, though. How a believer in Jesus, when they have the peace of God, the joy of the Lord, would walk away from that because they listen to something outside and they started having doubts and unbeliefs about this Word. Well, I'm here to tell you, this Word of God will work if you'll just believe it. Remember, say it with me, things are possible to him that believes. So we've got to be believers and not doubters. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 2. Say amen if you're there. Amen. Verse 1. Now remember that the Apostle Paul, this is what they call an epistle. This is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a pastor named Timothy. He was an apostle as well. And this is what he said in chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, that's Timothy. Now, remember, look at me, y'all. He's talking to us, okay? anytime he was talking to someone in the Word of God, it's for all of us today. So put your name right here where it says son or daughter. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Listen, thou therefore endure, and I know this is in the King James, because I'm going to go to the Amplified here in just a second, but listen to this. Thou therefore endure hardness. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that weareth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strives for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Verse 6. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding, because that's what we're needing right here, even in the these thous and thuses. We're needing some understanding of this word. Consider what I say, and the Lord will give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ is, or Jesus Christ of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So he's saying all this to Timothy, right? Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure. Oh man, it says it twice. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's, that's you and I, for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, the eternal glory. Okay. We're going to dig into this real fast, and you're going to understand it completely, because God began to show me a few things about the word endure. Endurance. You see, too many people in this life want to quit. I mean, they'll quit a dream, a vision that God's given them, especially if it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, they'll try this tithing stuff for a little bit, and then give up on it because it doesn't work immediately. They'll try this healing stuff, you know, by the stripes of Jesus you're healed in 1 Peter. They'll try it for a little bit when their bodies are sick, and then if they just don't get miraculously healed overnight, then it seems like they back up a little bit from, you know, is this stuff really true? Is it the will of God, they say, that I be healed? Is it God's will that I'm just supposed to be in this place of you know, trials and tribulations? And before you know it, the enemy has just convinced all of us that it might be God's will that people aren't healed. Well, that's a lie. Amen? So we've got to start finding out what is God's will. And I just want you to know right now, God's will is that you have the best all the time. God wants you to know that he has already done everything he's going to do so that you are already healed by his stripes. And y'all that don't know his stripes, the stripes was when Jesus got beaten. He was lined up like this, and they beat him with this whip called the cat of nine tails. And it had nine tails that just sliced his body open. And he took this thing 39 times. Well, obviously, the reason it says by his stripes were healed is because every time they striped his body and sliced it, he did it for you and I so that we can be healed by Jesus' stripes. Most of the time, though, all we're doing is waiting on the manifestation of what we're believing for in the area of healing. So why would you give up on day three when you're believing God to be healed of something that the doctor has diagnosed you with? Why would you give up quite so early? No. You need endurance. It's just kind of like a mule going hunting back in the day. You know, we would go up the Guadalupe Mountains in New Mexico, and man, you would need a mule to get around those rocks. And man, there were times that my dad, he would say, "All right, we got to go this way." And he would say this, "Don't look down." But those mules, they didn't care. They were sure-footed, man. They wasn't shod. They were just sure-footed, and they just make it, not a very wide path, and they would, no big deal. You see, there's something about endurance. You know, my brother's in racehorses, and you start studying racehorses, and man, there's some, not necessarily a quarter horse, because a quarter horse is mainly competition animals. They're made, you know, you see a lot of quarter horse races that are 300 yards and not 2 miles. But the thoroughbreds, on the other hand, oh man, they have this way of just, they have the bigger lungs, I guess, where they can just endure a lot of stress. Well, that's exactly what we're going to talk about this morning, how we need to endure in these last days. We need to have some endurance, because we don't need to be people that will quit just because of adversity. Just because the enemy's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Why don't you read the next part of John 10:10? Jesus came that we may have life and more abundant life. So this morning, we're going to talk about, just real fast, about us having endurance, because it's another ingredient of us not giving up. Us having the weapons to defeat the enemy. And I'm telling you, if you have endurance and you won't give up, oh man, God's going to get lots of glory, because you're going to get lots of victories in your life. So no matter what you're going through this morning, I'm telling you, if you'll have an endurance to stay on the Word of God, you'll be the overcomer by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. Amen? All right. So let's go back and begin to dig in to what the Apostle Paul was trying to teach Timothy. And again, if we dig into Timothy's life, man, he had an incredible church. He was pastor of a large church, and man, he was under attack. They changed some leadership, and the new leadership, old Nero, man, he got in charge and decided he wanted everybody to worship him. Matter of fact, he built little altars and things just so that they would worship him. And here's Timothy saying, no, you need to worship our great God, Jehovah. Don't worship some statue. Well, that made the guy mad, see? And so there was lots of persecution in these days. So let's go back and let's begin to see some things that will help us have some endurance in these last days. In other words, we're not going to quit. We're going to see the results of God. In other words, if you're in here and you're believing God for some manifestation of health issues to take place, where you're healed by Jesus' stripe, but yet you don't feel like it, well, today's your day to receive just a little bit stronger faith that you are healed. You're not moved by what you see and what you hear and how you feel, taste, and touch. No, you're going to be moved only by the Word of God, because see, that's when manifestations happen. Maybe you're here this morning and you're going through some relationship issues. Whatever it might be, I don't know. Maybe with family, maybe it might be a marriage or whatever. Well, today's your day to get just a little stronger faith, man, where you're not going to give up on that marriage. No, you're going to speak life over it in Jesus' name. Maybe you're here today and, man, financially, you've just been struggling in some areas. I mean, you have decided to participate in the recession of our economy. Well, I want you to know that you don't have to participate in that. Man, you can be blessed coming in and blessed going out, as the Word of God says about you. You are an heir of God and joint heir with Jesus. And if you're that, then praise God, you have the benefits of being above financially and not underneath. Maybe you're here and you've just been addicted in some areas that you've been battling over and over and over, and it seems like you overcome it for a short time, and then all of a sudden it rears its nasty head back up, and then you jump right back into doing the same thing over and over. The guilt and the condemnation comes from the enemy, of course, telling you how sorry you are, how bad you are for doing those things, and a lot of times they're hidden sins. No one knows about it, possibly, but I'm here to tell you God does. And maybe you just are the ones that want to get set free from those addictions that, again, might be hidden. Today's your day. Because, man, faith is going to rise up in you, especially when you receive this benefit, this principle called endurance, where you're not going to give up on your God. So look with me again as we read in the Amplified, verse 3, chapter 2 again of 2 Timothy, as the Apostle Paul says this: take with me your share of hardships and suffering which you are called to endure. Because see, the Word of God never says that everything will be perfect in this world, because we live in the world. We're just not supposed to live of this world, right? Okay, so we're going to see some hardships. We're going to see some tough times. But again, how do we overcome these things? So the Apostle Paul is saying again, let's endure them as a good, I like to amplify it because it says, first class soldier of Jesus Christ. Look at me. If you're born again, you're a soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. No matter what. We have to believe this Bible. Again, don't be a person that just wants to have the helmet of salvation on and then the rest of your body is naked. I mean, because the enemy he's going to cause those fiery darts to come. But you got to have protection, man. I mean, yeah, man, thank God we get to go to heaven when we leave this place. But we don't need the peace of God or the joy of the Lord in heaven. It's there. So we need it here. Amen. We've got to have it here. And you're not going to have it unless you stand on this word, see? Okay? All right, look at verse 4 now. It says in the Amplified, no soldier, when in service, gets entangled in the enterprises of civilian life. The first thing that will help you with enduring is, number one, do things right. It's time we start doing things right, y'all. I talked to Mom going to Waco yesterday to watch London, my daughter. She's in the breakaway and in the barrels at the women's pro rodeo finals there in Waco. And I mean, tough. The best ladies in the world were there, all over the country. And so I was the calf pusher. Y'all don't want to know what that is, do you? Okay. Cowboys, we know. I was in the chute tailing the calf so that I would keep him at the front so that London gets in the corner. She's got her old arm. She likes to start this way, and I do too when I rope. And so when she nods her head, they release the gate, and I want that calf going immediately because it's just better timing so that she can nod, come, and be ready to rope that calf. Well, on the very first calf, she was 2.9. Made a great run. Well, I tailed the calf. So then they made me come back the next two go-arounds to tail. So I would drive to Waco and then drive back. And then drive back to Waco and then drive back. So the second night was Friday, and London, I get behind this calf, and man, I have him just perfect. Wow, man, she's too flat. Ends up winning, splitting 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th, because I mean, they were fast. Those girls can get it out of their hand and go fast in the breakaway rope. And I think there was a 1.7 seconds, 1.8. Two 1.8s, two 1.9s, and then London and three others were too flat. So she's coming back in the average fifth and sixth with a 4.9. Okay, so Mama, you know Mama, that's my wife, calls me and says, you're going to get back up here. I said, don't speak to me like that, woman. What'd you say? I said, yes, ma'am. And I headed to Waco, and praise God, she did good. And she caught her calf last night. But on the way, we began to start talking about different things. Because remember what he's saying right here? That it's really, really important not to get entangled in this crazy life, or entangled in the Amplified says, in civilian life. Because how many know when we turn on the news, it's easy to get entangled into all the stress of what's going on in our country? Well, you don't need to do that. You know what you need? That's why I posted on Facebook. I felt like everybody was upset because, you know, they told us it was going to be one way and everybody's going to vote this way, and it didn't turn out that way. I mean, man, they said something about abortion, and that freaked out a lot of people. And we just begin to talk about these kind of things and how easy it is to get entangled and to get our minds focused on and all the stuff that's going on in our government. Well, that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. Now, don't get me wrong, because it's up to the church to stay bold and stay committed to keeping our country, you know, founded under the sovereign God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and not backing off and letting other people vote the devil into the offices and stuff. I mean, it's up to us. And no matter what happens, when I put a post that said, look, your vote is your seed. Any of y'all that didn't vote, you should. You should not be in a democracy where you don't vote, because it's our voice as Christians that has to be out there in front of the people, because the voices and the votes of the ungodly are definitely out there. And that's what a democracy is. And a lot of times Christians back away from that because we understood that with prayer being taken out of school is because Christians didn't bow up to the devil that's trying to destroy our country, turn it away from God. Listen, y'all, we've got to stand up against that. So I put your vote is your seed. It's your seed no matter what happens. No matter if one party's in control that doesn't agree with what we believe or whatever it is. So if your vote is your seed, that's what you stand on, see. Well, it's real easy to do the wrong thing then and get entangled into the affairs of what's going on around us. Don't do that. Don't do that, because you won't have endurance if you do that. No, you'll get your eyes off of the Word of God and you'll get them on all the junk of the world. It's like the devil telling you, yep, you're going to die in 6 months. Because the doctor said you got cancer, and you're going to die. If you open your mouth and say, I guess I'm going to die, more than likely you're going to die. But if you would dare speak what the Word of God speaks and say, I'm going to live, you are not my final report, doctor. Believe in them. Most of y'all know my family on dad's side and mom's side are lots of doctors. We have lots of doctors in our family. I believe in a doctor, but not as the final authority. No, I believe in the great physician. And he says I'm healed by Jesus' stripes. So if a doctor diagnoses me with something like 20 years ago called Crohn's, remember? They took out 16 inches of intestine, a little bit of the colon. They said I'd have to take medicine for the rest of my life. I'd have to quit riding and roping. That was a bad thing to say. Negatory ghost rider. Don't say that to a cowboy. Well, I had enough of the Word of God. I wasn't going to get entangled in the affairs of the world that says, yep, it's just part of life. If the doctor says it, believe it. You know what I decided to do? As they woke me up, most of y'all remember this, as they woke me up and they were doing my chest right here trying to wake me up. You nurses do that, you know. It hurts. And the doctor looked at me and said, son, you got a disease called Crohn's. We got all the bad stuff out. It's not curable, but we can manage it with medicine for the rest of your life. I looked at him, and I was just barely waking up, and I said, no, thank you. That's what I said. Nuh-uh, no, thank you. He said it again. He said, Mr. Ross, I don't know if you understand. Are you awake? You have a disease called Crohn's. It's not curable, but we can manage it. Lots of medicine. Well, and I said, no, sir. I don't receive that. They wheeled me to my room. They came back. Oh, he came back. This one doctor only came back one time, and my mom and dad was beside me. And he said, son, I don't know. Now, I had tubes in my mouth by this time. He said, I don't know if you understand, son, but you have a disease called Crohn's. We got all the bad stuff. Took 16 inches of intestines out, son. But you got a disease that we can't cure it. We can manage it, though. If you don't manage it, you just have to come back in, take more. We'll take more intestines and maybe most of the colon out until you die. And me and my mom and dad were in there at this time, and I said, uh-uh, no thank you. Of course, I couldn't speak it. I just go, mm-mm, no. What I was doing, y'all, listen, this is the most important thing that I did. I didn't agree with the fact, because it was a fact I was diagnosed with Crohn's. I agreed with the truth of the Word of God. I wasn't entangled with all the things that the world is saying. I decided I wanted to be living by the truth of the Word of God that says I'm healed by Jesus' stripes. Mark 16 says, lay hands on the sick, praise God, and they'll recover. Mom and Dad were doing that. And so was a lot of other people that was coming in my room, laying hands on me. Oh, you're going to get up. You're going to be fine. Listen to me. I have never taken one pill in all these years. Ever. You know why? Because I was healed by the stripes of Jesus. I didn't get entangled in the affairs of the world. I didn't listen to the voices of the enemy. Oh, you're going to die, son. No. I still eat chicken fried steak. Anyway, so number one, don't get entangled in the affairs of this crazy life. No, do things right. Let's live right. The Bible says that you're justified by faith. You know what justified means? It means that you're acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God. That's who you are. No, the devil's going to say, yeah, but you remember what you did in college? Remember the party was at your house, preacher? See, that's what the enemy does, right? Because he's wanting me to get entangled in my mind in the affairs of this crazy life. Or even the things I might have done back when. But that's the old me, y'all. I'm a new me in Christ Jesus. Okay, here's the second thing that I saw. The second thing is that it's really, really important to endure in these last days is to get in understanding in everything. Look at verse 6 in the Amplified. It says, it is the hardworking farmer who labors to produce, who must be the first partaker of the fruits. Think over these things that I'm saying. Understand them and grasp them and their application. For the Lord will grant you full insight and understanding in everything. I got someone texted me early this morning and said that his wife had passed away. And the Everetts, Cody Bob's mama died. And so I called Tommy Everett. They ranch in Fort Davis, Texas. And I said, what happened? you know, and he just began to tell me a lot of things. And he said this, "Man, I don't understand. She broke her hip, went into the hospital, got her hip fixed, was going to go into therapy, ate a little breakfast, kidding around with everything. She's one that she'll go. They'll go to the college national finals and put. She's a vendor, puts up a vending booth at all these rodeos and things. And I mean, just a hard worker, older couple, of course. Anyway, she got to feeling sick and had what they call a major mini stroke, and it just shot her brain down, and she passed away. What did he say? I don't understand. Well, God here is trying to tell you and I, man, you got to get understanding. And the understanding is found in the Word of God. Listen to me. I told this to the crowd at the Steer Rope and National Finals at the church service last weekend. That's why I wasn't here. I said, remember, God's good. Say it with me, y'all. Everybody, God is good. Say it louder. God is good. He's good. But the devil is bad. Say it, class. That's what I told him. The devil, say it with me. The devil is bad. If you understand those things, you'll understand this Bible. You'll understand God. He's good. The devil's bad. So anything bad comes from the devil. Well, that's understanding. When you don't say, God, why'd you allow that to happen? Because that's what I heard this weekend. God, why did that happen to me? I've preached messages on why bad things happen to good people. We live in this world. We see it constantly. I'm trying to convince us all to not participate in the ways of the world. Because if you won't participate in the economy of this world, then you won't be the one that goes under and has to go bankrupt. No. You'll be the one that's blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming in, blessed going out. You'll be the one that, I mean, favor, just come. I'm telling you, it's the truth, y'all. I don't take a salary here, but our finances in the last 3 years of a pandemic have been the biggest and best of our ministry ever. Why? I decided to believe the provider. I decided to trust in him. I didn't quit giving. I'm just making sure, Lord, don't mind me saying this. Because sometimes I just say it. I'm trying to get mature, man. You see this gray hair? All right. The point is and we're givers. In other words, I'm not going to tell you. I don't want you to. We're givers, and we gave more in this season of 3 years when, I mean, churches were shutting down. I can tell this one. I sent a rodeo barrel man, a clown, $1,000 because he called me and said that in one day he lost three rodeos because of the virus, and they shut down everything. And that in three rodeos, he lost $17,000 income. Well, I just had a heart. I was like, golly. So I sent him $1,000. You know, it was like I sent him $3 million. It planted the seeds. He was having to build decks on homes just to make, I mean, because that's his living, as a rodeo clown. And a good one. He's won Clown of the Year in the PRCA many times. And he was struggling, man. Well, see, there's something about enduring and not being entangled in the affairs of the world. But what about understanding? We need to understand some things and hear God saying through the Apostle Paul, look, in everything, just get understanding. Start finding out, what does the Word of God say? Well, there's a devil. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy your life. So why don't you put the blame on him? Take authority over him. Take dominion over him. Tell him to get back under your feet, praise God, where he belongs, instead of up on top of you. You know, so many times we are scared of a fallen angel. That's all Satan is, y'all. He's a fallen angel. He can't come in the flesh and do anything to you and I. No, you know what he does? He has to tempt someone. And then that someone, whoever it might be, has to be submitted to his temptation to go and harm somebody. But you as a believer still have authority, dominion, and power over that someone. There's something about getting understanding of the Word of God. God's good, the devil's bad. So every good and perfect gift comes from above. Everything that's bad comes from a stinking fallen angel that you have authority over. Amen. Okay. Now, check out this third one, though, and we'll close. Because here, what are we trying to do this morning? Get endurance. Don't you dare give up. You keep fighting as a good soldier. Come on, Marine. Come on, man and woman of God that God has ordained to be a winner and not a loser. Come on. Don't you dare give up. And that's all God's saying this morning. Like a good soldier, you prepare. You fight. You fight the good fight of faith. And the only way to do that is through the Word of God. So the third thing, check out verse 8 and 9. In the Amplified, it says, constantly keep in mind Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. Constantly keep in mind Jesus Christ the Messiah, as risen from the dead, as the prophesied King. Hallelujah. Descended from David, according to the good news, the gospel that I preach. For that gospel, this Word of God is the gospel. It's good news. Praise the Lord. For that gospel, I am suffering affliction and even wearing chains like a criminal. Remember, the Apostle Paul wrote this letter when he was in prison. But yet he's building someone else up that's not in prison. But the Word of God, since he was chained up, the Word of God is not chained or imprisoned. The third thing I want you to see that will help you endure in these days is stay hooked to the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is truth and it'll make you free. The Word of God is the only thing that's going to save us in these last days. Again, when all things are trying to come against us, the Word of God is the only thing that's going to save us. That's why when I ride into the box, fixing a rope, wherever I'm roping, I say out of my mouth. I don't say it loud where it makes people uncomfortable. I'm just saying it for me and don't care what they think. Be real honest. But I'm not going to be in your face type. But I say I will do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Why? The devil's trying to get us to be weak. He's wanting me to have no confidence when I ride into that box. He wants me to be worried about what if something happens? What if your horse falls like happened to you in Nebraska, where you hit your head and you wake up in the hospital? That's what he tells bull riders constantly. Oh man, it's a bad, dangerous sport, son. And you're going to get hurt. No. That's not speaking the Word of God. That's getting entangled in the affairs of this world. That's speaking what the world says, not what God says. No, God calls you the head, not the tail. God calls you above and not beneath. He calls you to stay hooked to the Word of God no matter what. That's why I want you to bring the Word of God to your church. And I'm telling you, if you're new here, I pray that this could be a great church that you can plug into. Because one thing about it is this is the greatest church I know of. Amen. What if I said the opposite? That'd be terrible, huh? No. Preach the Word. That's what started all these messages two months ago. The Apostle Paul says, hey, preach the Word. Don't preach some man's opinion. It won't work. But the Word of God will work. What are you going through this morning that you just need the Word of God spoken over? Whatever it is, God knows it. And now it's time to continue to not give up, to endure. Amen. We're going to last. We're good soldiers. Yeah, but I don't know very much of the Bible. Who cares? Why don't you start? I told my son, I said, okay, here's the deal. He's 16. I said, you know what I want? I want you, where's your Bible? He goes, you know, I don't know where my Bible is. I said, that's your problem. I mean, you're a preacher's kid. And they get enough of the curse spoken against them. Oh, you know the preacher's kid, they're wilder than a March hare. Well, I break that curse every single day. I mean, because he could be just like me. Life of the party. You know, I just refuse to not have fun in life. I just have more fun waking up sober. I have more fun having the peace of God. I have more fun knowing that I have a way of escaping death. I have a way of escaping hell. I have a way of escaping the grave. Check out verse 10. I forgot this is the last closing. You know, preachers have three, okay? Check out verse 10 in the Amplified. Therefore, the apostle says, I am ready to preserve and to stand my ground with patience and endure everything for the sake of the elect, God's chosen, so that they too, that's us, may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus and the reward of eternal glory. Oh, God, man, golly. I'm talking about, think about salvation, man. That's why, thank y'all for allowing me to be gone so much. I'm starting to be home a little bit more in these seasons, but it just seems like here lately, the Lord has got me out there. Why? Because I want to see people saved. Amen. That's where my heart is. And so thank God for Howdy and Rusty and Ricky that come up here and preach the Word of God when I'm gone. And they back up what we believe God's called us to preach about, which is, you are a soldier. Let me say it this way. Look at me in this section. Every one of you are someone in Christ. Amen. You're not counterfeit. You are worthy. God highly loves y'all, both of y'all. God, you are someone in Him. So now it's time to get your chest out and your shoulders back and endure, because you can do it. You don't have to, those thoughts of trying to get you to give up. No. They're thoughts of the devil, and you tell that devil that you're not gonna. To listen to those thoughts, because you are a word woman. You're mighty. You're mighty. You are someone in Christ. It's just time that we start plugging in, not being ashamed. I'm not saying we're perfect, but we're trying to attain it. We're trying to do what's right. Listen to me. You guys in this section, you are worthy. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. You're worthy, man. You're worthy. God's positioned you to in the perfect place if you just tap in to the mighty riches of your kingdom. And it's yours. Just Jesus is the King of the kingdom. But you're mighty. You're worthy. You hear me? You are worthy. Gosh, He loves you. No, endure. Endure. Don't you give up. There's no reason to give up. We got, there's not enough time to be given up. It's time we press forward. You know why? Because He loves you. Even in your old orneriness. He still loves you. That's a great friend of mine. Oh, gosh, I love you. Because we're going to endure. because that's what a good soldier would do. You guys in this section, listen to me. You are someone in Christ.
Amen.
Get that vocabulary right, that you're the head, not the tail. Come on, you are worthy. Oh, you're worthy. You're a man of God. You know what? You're a son of God. And a son has rights, mm-hmm. even when they do wrong. Oh, you might get a whooping. Now I'm talking earthly here. Because really, a lot of people think God's, you know, might just whoop you up over the head if you do something right. God is not like that. You know what he did is he gave you the word of God to be the overcomer. He's already done everything, in other words. He's not looking around, let's just see if old Maggie is going to make a mistake. No, you're worthy. You are someone in Christ. Come on, get that faith up. We're not back to the days of Babylon. No, we're pressing forward.
Amen.
To the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Because that's who we are. Glory be to God. Come on, y'all. Because this is the rowdy section. This is the people that, I mean, they serve God no matter what. That's what I mean by rowdy. If you sit on this side, just the Spirit of God gravitates you, all these, what the world calls crazy people. You know why? Because you're the ones that's going to say, devil. You remember the movie? Right? Come on, AJ. I mean, look who you're sitting next to. A mighty woman of God. And you better be on your toes with her. Come on, my brother. Megan, let me tell you something. You are an awesome woman of God.
Amen.
You are. You just got to start believing it. Oh, Ethel. Stand up, Ethel. I got to give you a big old hug. You are a blessing. Oh. You know what she does? She waters the plant in my office. I didn't even know we had a plant. That thing's growing. Come on, you're worthy. Get your faith up. Don't you dare give up. That old adversary, he's already defeated, huh? Amen. Come on, you got this. You could be training a lot of those kids at school trying to go the wrong direction. No, you're a mighty man. See, you ain't got to have gray hair just to get all excited about Jesus because you're older. Now, why don't you get excited about Jesus because you're not entangled in the affairs of this world? You have complete understanding and you stay hooked to the Word of God. Amen? Come on. We can do it. But as verse 10 says, there's something about eternal glory. Salvation. Are you all saved? Everybody in here born again, heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask you, just real intimate. Are you born again? In other words, if you died and left this earth, and I'm not speaking death on you, I'm just wanting you to think about something. If you left this earth and you stood before God, the Bible calls that the great judgment day, as y'all know. You're going to be individually standing before God, not with family or friends, individually. If you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, the Father, with His Son beside Him with this book called the Book of Life, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, the Father's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into heaven." The rest, the joy of the Lord. Oh, man. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, you'll be with Him. But If you stand before God and Jesus is not the Lord of your life, because you have a will, you have said sometime, nope, I won't have anything to do with this God stuff. You have that right, you know. I just ask you not to submit to that will. Because if you do and you don't receive His Son Jesus, you remember the only begotten Son? If you choose not to receive Jesus, the Father, who's not a man that He can lie, has to say, depart from me. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I want you to go to heaven. I don't care how bad you've talked about me and my family. I still want you to go to heaven. So in front of me, the sound of my voice, if you're watching or you're in this audience, that's the question. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? If He's not, I want you to make Him Lord by praying a prayer with me and all these other people. We're going to just pray and ask Jesus to come into our life. If we're born again, we're just learning the prayer. We're praying it with someone beside us, possibly. If we're not born again and Jesus is not the Lord of your life, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell if you died. When you pray this prayer, make Jesus your Lord. We're just going to pray it out loud. But we're all going to pray it together. You ready? Again, if you're here this morning or watching and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you just don't know what would happen to you if you died. Make Jesus your Lord by praying this prayer out loud with all of us. And let's all pray it like this. You ready? Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of my sins. I believe You've been raised from the dead, and I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm going to heaven when I leave this earth. And while I live here on this earth, I need You in my life. I need understanding. I need the Word of God. And I will live by it. In Jesus' name I pray. No one looking around, just real fast. If you just prayed that prayer and you asked Jesus to come into your life this morning, with no one looking around, because I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you even to come down to the front. Right where you're sitting or right where you're watching, if you just prayed that prayer and you asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life this morning, I want you to be bold enough when I count to three to raise your hand up. You're saying by your hand being up, God, I meant that prayer. And Jesus is my Lord. And then just put your hand right back down. And I want you to do it with boldness. Don't you be ashamed. Jesus was not ashamed to die for us. Please don't be ashamed to just simply raise your hand and confess Jesus before me. So at the count of three, if that's you, get that hand up and signify it by saying, I'd receive the Lord. And that's what your hand will do. Ready? With boldness. If you gave your life to Him, get that hand up on three. One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Appreciate all of you guys. Thank you. Give me one Bible. I'm just going to give you guys a Bible. Keep your heads bowed just a second. Thank you, sir. Praise God. It's going to give you that Bible. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Anybody else that might have raised their hand, us. Praise God. Look at me, y'all. Isn't that amazing? Listen, gosh, He's so worthy. I've never, and you can ask anybody that's been coming here for 18 years, coming on 19. The people that get saved here is amazing. I'm serious. I went to churches where if 10 got saved that year, we celebrated at the end of the year. Glory be to God, 10 got saved. Well, we might have that sometimes in a half a month. God, thank You for sending people to give their hearts to You. Amen. So now that you're saved, plug into a church. If it's not here, get it to a church that speaks the Word of God. Amen. If it's here, Praise God.